James and chapter 1. I've been speaking on the subject of a right response, which is a supernatural response to a time of crisis in order to get the desired result. And that desired result we'll see is that God really wants to elevate you. He wants to promote you. He wants to bring you into a place where of authority, or if you're already in authority, of more authority and influence on the earth. That's the huge benefit that God has on his mind. And we said that James, right, is a practical, it's a manual, a book of instructions, practical insights on what to do when or if a person or when we get into what is called trying times, right? And so we're going to get into diverse temptations. Our heavenly response that will trigger, all right, what God has intended for us in that situation. And we started out in reading verse 1 and 2. So I read from 2. And it says, my brethren, count it as your first response. Take it as a matter, right, where you offer unto God or you express unadulterated joy without any admixture of sorrow in it. In other words, no mood swings. It is just pure joy that is coming out of your heart right into the heavens, into the presence of God. And so it says, count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh consistency, steadfastness, right? One that will not compromise, even when it seems like the wind is blowing heavily against it. It says, for the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, or complete and entire, wanting nothing. So we looked at those two forces, the release of joy and the exercise of confidence in the midst of trial. Bible says that in returning and in rest, in quietness and in confidence, shall be your strength. Patience is a man who quietly is exercising steadfast confidence about the outcome of that situation, even when things apparently look very difficult. So a combination of joy, unadulterated joy, and patience will give you absolute victory. We saw that last week. You mix your joy with confidence, and you are coming out on top. But someone asked, why should I count it as a matter to rejoice when I fall, when I am being tested, when I'm going through crisis? Why should I count it? That is, look at it. When we say count your blessings, name them one by one. You count the blessing, you thank God for it. Says, count this also as a matter of unadulterated, uninterrupted joy before God Almighty. Why should I rejoice over something that makes me feel, at least initially, uncomfortable? Why should I express unadulterated joy at something that amounts to a thorn in my flesh? Why should I express that kind of joy, joy unspeakable, at something that breaks my routine, can create at the onset some form of anxiety? Human beings are creatures of habit, destabilizes that. And you say, at something that appears chaotic, and I do not see any reason why it should have happened, I shall count it as a matter of expressing unadulterated joy. For one reason, That's why God says so. Because of his intended outcome of that particular thing. Which means that God has something on his mind. He is saying that the end game for this thing. If you knew what will eventually come out of this, you will immediately start considering this as a matter for unadulterated joy. If you understood what really is at the end of the road, what really is at the end of this straitness and confinement, you will begin to sing and you will begin to dance. What do I mean? The Bible tells us in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive a crown. And that crown speaks about kingship, promotion, authority, which means you are going into a place of authority in life. It's a crown of life. It's a place of authority there in life. Then again, we look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That means we have witnesses to this thing. There is a great cloud of people, right, that bear witness to this particular thing. They've gone through it. They have been tested. The Bible says that an elder who has gone through the sufferings and the glory that came out of it. They've tasted of it and they have seen what the outcome was. So they look down on you, and if you are frustrated, they've been there. Who are there? And they discuss among themselves that 3 weeks to that great thing that happened, I felt the same thing this person is feeling. But here was my own response to it. And the reason why it seems not to be working for this person is that they are not responding that way, even though there is an urging from the Spirit of God to do that. So we have a great cloud of witnesses, men who have walked upon this earth, who have been tried, who have been tested. The Bible says they were stoned. All kinds of things have happened. And they're all there watching, saying to us that we should run this race, lay aside every weight, the sin that ought so easily beset, and run with patience, steadfastness, the race that is set before us. That we should keep our eyes on Jesus as our example, who was the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy. Now, the reason why he endured was that the joy that was set before him. Who for the joy that was set before him. So there was something that was set before Jesus. That was a matter of joy. He endured the cross. He didn't count the shame as anything. And one of the things that we celebrate crisis too much. We give too much power, all right, to situations. We allow the opinions of men to disturb us. Let me tell you something about men's opinion. It does not count except you allow it to affect you emotionally. You hear what I said? I learned this when I was in school. I went through some things, came out, and after that, all right, I heard that some people were saying, and you know, I thought about it, but all what they said, it was years later, did not even affect me, or I did not affect the outcome of it, even though all that was going on, it really didn't change anything. But then I realized that if I had heard what they were saying, then I could have gotten angry. Then the root of bitterness could have come in. That will have affected the outcome. If I allowed the water to come into the boat, then that could have affected, all right, or would have affected the outcome. So Jesus despised the shame, right? Looked at it and said, this is not something I even shall get to the office and talk about. Despised it. Why? Looking at that joy that was before him, and the Bible says, is now set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So he looked at the joy set before him. What was the joy? He is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what Jesus was seeing was the position where he was going into. He understood that the crisis, all right, the crisis didn't provide, didn't make the provision, but the crisis pushed him into that particular position. The crisis became the vehicle that took him in. There was no way he could have left his body, all right, and gone there without committing murder. He had to be, all right, suicide. He had to be killed. So people had to, and they had to be wicked people to get his spirit out of the body, get it into heaven to ascend and to sit at the right hand of the Father. So his eyes were on that. And so when everything was going on the outside, he was just rejoicing because that's what he was looking at. Now, let me make it practical and tell you this. If you're working in a place and you're earning 500,000, now think about this, a month. And then somebody calls you and says, an angel of the Lord comes to you by night, says, O son of most highest, daughter of Jesus, come see us. No, they won't say that. I'm just saying thy future. And they open the veil and they show you in 24 months, you in a company that fetches $10 billion a year as profit. $10 billion. All right? Let's even say that. Maybe go as far. 9 billion naira as profit. And you are there seated. You say, wow. Said, yeah. It's coming. But the only condition is this. You will have to lose this job and you'll be sacked. And when you're sacked, you'll have to spend all your savings for 7 months trying to sustain your life. After which, you will not get a regular job, but you get some few contractual jobs here and there. That will be less than this, and that will go on for another 7-8 months. Right? So 15 months gone. Then the idea of the business will come to you, and within 3 months, you'll start the business, and you begin to make some profit. But by the 24th month, right, your business will be capable and be fetching 10 billion naira a year. Do you want this? Deal or no deal? You'll say, let us deal. The other side is you remain in this job and you see Mr. XOXO after 25 years, 770,000. They'll move you to 515,000. 500 naira in the next 2 years. Which one do you want? You'll say, shake my life, Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying here? You'll say, but it is going to be somebody close to you that will say something. Let them say it. Please let them say it. All servants of God, let them. That God himself, look, you start preaching hidden scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying here? God is saying, count it all joy because that's how it is. Now listen, count it. If you stop rejoicing, you get off the boat taking you there. Count, he says, that's the reason he said, it's not madness here. He says, count it. Look, faith is rational when you find the evidence of the things you don't see. Once God gives you the evidence of why he tells you to believe, faith becomes a rational thing to do. Faith is not blind. If the flood was coming and the flood came and caught Noah, and Noah goes to God and said, why didn't you tell me? God says, well, I didn't know whether you will have responded. What do you mean? Which means, give me the evidence of what I cannot see and I'll act on it. So faith is about that. So there is a crown. I want to get into it. There's a crown that is waiting for you in life. That's why when people say, you know, to themselves, say, well, you know, I'm just going through stuff. You know, nobody knows what I'm going through. Everybody is going through what you're going through. Some worse. A great counselor said, in all my years of counseling Christians, I've never seen anybody who wants to swap their position. He said, you tell this man, he says, I have serious problems. You call the next man, he says, I have serious problems. Can you exchange now? I say, keep your problem, I keep mine. My own is not yet like your own. Are you what I'm saying? Everybody. All right, the Bible says those we consider as fortunate, crowned, and blessed is because, not that they didn't go through, they responded correctly. All right, that's why. You don't say, well, it's because they didn't go through. Some people believe that, well, the reason why I'm the way I am is because, you know, of all the cards I was dealt in life. You know, all these other folks were not dealt this kind of card. I was the one that was dealt this serious kind of card. If I was dealt, you know, and all of that. They went through. The issue is that in responding, they were slow to speak. They despised it. They didn't run around with their mouth talking about it. They sat beside you rejoicing. You thought all was well, but they were rejoicing in faith. While you were murmuring, they were rejoicing in faith. Are you following what I'm saying here? Sometime many years ago, there was this, there was a camper just came and got. So some lady came to me and she had broken up, her boyfriend was breaking up with her. And the reason was that she went and said what she should say, third party. So I said, what happened? She said, listen to me, it was my friend. And my very close friend. I went and said what happened between us, my friend. Listen to me, just like a sister to me. So I told her. So I said, what did the sister to you say? Said, the sister to me said, she too went through the same thing before she got married, but she married her husband. I said, okay, but here's my point. Since she's like a sister to you and you like a sister to her, why didn't she tell you when she was going through it? That's the secret. You are the one announcing yourself around the whole town. Are you following what I'm saying here? They are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil. They keep moving. And the way you keep moving is by rejoicing. As you keep rejoicing, your motion will stop. Paul said, listen, that I might finish my course with joy. He said, I will keep moving in joy. In Acts 20, 24, he says, I will finish my course there with joy. Right? Talking about keeping the faith there. Acts 20, 24, he says, I will finish my course there with joy. All right? But none of these things move me, nor count I my life there unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received. Which means if joy goes, the journey stops. You only finish when you remain, all right, in the place of joy. So James said, rejoicing with patience will produce absolute victory. Steadfast confession, declaration of the outcome without wavering. Right? No mood swings. Unadulterated joy. We'll get you there. Shakespeare in Julius Caesar, now I said in second service, I can quote it from my head, but not to look like, you know, I'm quoting Shakespeare. A pastor came to this one and was quoting Shakespeare, you know, quote Shakespeare. So I wrote it, but I can quote it from my head. But I don't even want to quote, you know, and look like, then in your heart you'll say, pastor just quoted Shakespeare, Julius Caesar. So pastor reads literature. He's a very intelligent guy. From Ward to Shakespeare, you know, those who that. Are you following what I'm saying here? Huh? Back then, some guys, they'll meet a girl to talk to her, they'll be quoting Shakespeare. All right. All right. So, in Julius Caesar, he said there is a tide in the affairs of men. Right? If taken at the flood leads to a fortune, omitted, the voyage of life is in shallow waters and misery. In other words, when crisis comes, Shakespeare said, we've seen something. The person that engages in it, rides that wave, will end up with a fortune. The person that dodges it and said, I won't engage, let me escape, you said, and omit this, they go into shallow waters and a place of misery. David, when Goliath came, can you imagine David saying, it's not my business? All right? Yeah, it's not my business. When the bear came and the lion came, it's not my business. It is these small things. Any place where you are, the business is your business. Ivan, I said it before, but I've told you, I said it now. Pastor Bukwa Wushika's mentoring, this is the best mentoring session I've seen in my entire life. That woman shared the matter. If you understood what she was saying. I told somebody, I said, the reason why, and I'll get to it, in Nigeria, we don't understand this, is that most of the wealth in Nigeria is by rent seeking. Government patronage, not entrepreneurship. Most of the people you see with money, government patronage. Yes, sir, they gave you this and money comes. Not that you built a business. Those businesses can run with any kind of staff. You understand what I'm saying? Any kind in this world. Whether they say, the way the money comes has nothing to do with HR and all this thing. Anything can happen. There are people just in an office, just them and two mobile phones and billions in the account. How? It's business. Are you following what I'm saying? But to build from scratch up, you must apply certain things. Now, so it says here in James here, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It says, but let patience have a perfect work that it might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, it now comes to this. He said, well, how then am I going to keep rejoicing? And this is what I'm zeroing on today. Keep rejoicing and hold fast my confession. Says the way you do it is this. If you cannot do it, and you are saying because Jesus saw the joy that was before him. In other words, if you are sure that if I lose this job, 24 months down the line, I have a business fetching me 10 billion naira, then when you lose the job, it is a thing of joy, not of pressure. So it says, if you cannot relate to what is going on in your life today with that kind of gladness in your heart because of what is going to come into your life by reason of what God has prepared, he said, you lack the wisdom of God. He said, therefore, go and ask for wisdom. However, he says, when you're asking for wisdom, stay in faith. Because if you waver, it talks about this. Let any man, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That means the person has been tossed. Let me tell you this, getting results is not difficult. Manifestation is actually easy. It doesn't take as much time as we think it takes. It will happen faster than you ever planned if you stick to the rules. If you do not waver, if you offer up unadulterated joy and there's no mixture there with sorrow, if we don't see you in the morning and you're all rejoicing, God is good, and by afternoon, based on something you heard or some reports that came, your mood has now changed. Once your mood changes, the power of God ceases in that situation. If you are not going through what we call that yo-yo kind of experience, where today you're all happy and all of that, and then tomorrow you are thinking differently about it, quite depressed about the situation. If that joy is at a level that is unadulterated, if you do not waver in any way, you are not tossed by anything, your heart is steady, you will get there.
Thank you for listening.